The Weekly Dish podcast is brought to you by Lakewinds Co-op in Minnetonka, Chanhassen, and Richfield with delivery from Instacart. There's no membership required to shop at Lakewinds. All are welcome. Check out lakewinds.com, and if you can't make it to a Lakewinds, please visit your local food co-op in the neighborhood near you. Hi, it's Stephanie Hansen for The Weekly Dish, and the produce section at Lakewinds is in full autumn harvest swing. Locally grown apples like First Kiss, Zestar, Harrelson, and Sweet Tango are here. All the apples you'll find at Lakewinds have been grown using the best methods for delivering tasty, healthy, fresh apples. Use them in salads or as snacks with peanut butter or cheese and in all those delicious baked goods. We're also getting into winter squash season, and I make a killer curry squash soup that is so easy. Turn your oven on to 450 degrees and roast squash, onions, and apples until they're soft. Then blend them with a tablespoon of curry powder and vegetable stock. Serve it all with a swirl of coconut cream or sage leaves fried until crispy for a hearty fall favorite. Lakewinds just isn't natural food. They're also a great resource for recipes and cooking tips. Listeners can visit lakewinds.com to see videos of local chefs like Beth Dooley making a roasted squash salad. Don't miss out on the last of the local growing season. Enjoy the best that fall in Minnesota has to offer with Lakewinds, located in Minnetonka, Chanhassen, Richfield, or online at lakewinds.com/delivery. Stephanie Hansen, you're Stephanie March, and we are funny, and we eat a lot, and we have a call that held over from the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. Thanks, Annie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you girls today?
We're doing great. What can we help you with?
Okay, so I went on this squash soup kick like 5 years ago, and I canned a ton of it.
Oh.
And then I also went on a tomato soup canning kick, so I've got all of these beautiful soups. And they've been canned, and they're like 4 years old. And how long will they last? I know it's a coffee because it looks beautiful from the outside, and I just don't have the heart to chuck them because it took me so much work. But, you know, like the tomato soup, I'm worried about botulism, but with the squash soup,
Where are they? Have you been keeping them in, like, in a cool space, or they've just been, like, display?
No, they were downstairs in the basement.
I think I'd eat them.
Forgotten, of course.
I'd eat them. Okay. I'd open them up, and if the seals didn't have like anything around,
and I'll let you guys know what happens. And then my other question is: so when I made these soups, I borrowed from a chef this mixer that has a blade at the bottom that gave it the creaminess. And what is the name of that machine? Do you know what that is?
A Vitamix.
Oh, it was like a handle with a cord on the end.
Oh, are you talking about like an immersion blender?
Immersion blender, that's what it is. I need me in one of those.
Yeah, okay. You do. That is the key because you don't have to pour soup into a big container.
Cuisinart has a great one.
It's super creamy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I'm not encouraging you to get sick. If you open them up and they smell funky or they look funky or the seals, you know, don't look great, then I wouldn't. But yeah, I think I would.
Yeah.
Did you kind of think as a rule of thumb, canned things are going to last at least a year?
Yeah, I do. If you keep them stored in, you know, reasonably like 60-ish degree temperatures.
Okay, I'll let you know what happens.
All right, I love it.
Unless you die, and then you won't.
And then you won't.
Thanks, Annie. I mean, I never even thought to can squash soup. But I think that's a fabulous idea. I don't know. I mean, because I don't put dairy. If you cannot can dairy, for the record, people. So you can't be
jarring
canning
things up like that.
Cream of things.
No.
But
it's the fat.
And tomato soup is no different than tomato sauce.
No, it's not.
And I can that. Stephanie, someone sent on my Instagram that McCormick's Pub has a take and bake chicken pot pie, and they're offering them limited quantity daily for curbside pickup. So I'm going to put that on my Instagram story if anyone wants to check that out.
Okay.
They're in Wayzata, so you probably know where they are.
Oh, McCormick's.
Yeah, McCormick's Pub.
Oh, there's a different one, too.
Okay. McCormick and Schmick's, is that what you're thinking?
No, but what's the one in St. Louis Park that I'm thinking of?
I don't know. McCormick's Pub.
Yeah. No, West I know Sider. That they're in Wayzata. That's a cute little place.
It looks really cute.
They have a great burger there,
actually. Pot pie looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Think of all those new places I'm going to get to try. So exciting. It's the only thing that's keeping me, like,
I'm like, we can just go for drives. Stephanie goes for drives out west all the time.
You don't get to take my drives, okay? Let's be clear about that. You don't get to go to a farm and be like, oh my God, that I've talked about for 6 years.
I'm gonna
and then
do
you
it
go,
anyway.
Oh, look, you here's know. A thing. I'm just going to have a conniption. That's all.
Okay, let's do our top 2 and hour 2.
Give me the old one two. What if I move to safe call? The Weekly Dish presents
Top 2.
The top 2.
Pick your best 2.
In hour 2.
All right, give me 2. Winning.
Okie doke. Do you want me to go ahead?
Sure. Go first if you want to.
I just want people to know that Tea House on University Avenue, and they have another location too, and I think it's maybe...
Well, the original one's in Plymouth.
Thank you.
And then I think their St. Paul one is still open? No.
On University?
Yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, there's one in St. Paul over by...
94.
Yeah.
Sunray, kind of that area.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I think so.
I just want you guys to know that their takeout Chinese is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've had a few takeout experiences in the Chinese realm that have been like, meh. They... just delivered. The Kung Pao chicken was fantastic. Crispy, very crispy chicken wings, which mm-hmm. is hard to do in a takeout situation. You could tell they used like rice flour or something. They were super good. The sauce was great. The dumplings with the chili oil, very delicious. Nice vegetarian egg rolls. And then steamed soup buns.
Yeah.
Were just
their
fantastic.
Soup buns are the best,
it was
I think.
Really a great takeout Chinese experience.
That's Tea House on University?
That's correct.
Okay. And the original
and DoorDash too.
In Plymouth, it will be very close to you. Like ridiculously close to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
West.
Yes. I'll allow you the Tea House. my first one, you guys, is the fact that it's congee season, actually. I'm super excited by the fact that it's time for soups like we were talking about. But like for me, all I want is that rice porridge, that congee, which is so just... kind of like warming. Like the other day I was so cold in the house, I hadn't gotten the heat all fired up really, and I was like, God, I just really want something warm. And Jake went through like all these things, like, do you want rice and beans, do you want da-da-da, and he went through all these things, and I was like, you know what, I think I really want congee. And I didn't make it that night because I didn't have rice, but now I'm all set. I think I'm going to make the congee, which is, of course, just you take rice and you boil it to a point where it and like 6 cups of water. It's like 1 cup of rice to like 6 cups of water. And you boil it down, and it usually takes a long time, and you have ginger in there, and you have spices so that it cooks into the flavor of the rice, and it breaks into that kind of mushy, beautiful porridge type thing. And then I put in pork or chicken, and then I put in a couple eggs, like I do the jammy eggs on top. So
can you do that in the Instant Pot, too?
Yes, and in fact, I'm going to actually put the Instant Pot recipe up, because I think that that's, it makes it so much easier. It's crazy fast. It's a 20-minute I think it was a 22-minute cookdown to break the rice down in the Instant
Yum.
Pot.
So. Weekly Dish Instant Potters on the Facebook page is that Facebook group if you want to see some of these recipes and other recipes that people share. It's a great group.
Yeah. What's your second?
Okay. I had something that I was like, oh, I don't know, but this is looking good. And then I ate it. I was like, oh, and I sat in my car and ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
The Potluck in Rosedale is doing a fall festival.
Yeah.
And they had this Nordic waffle. And I like the Nordic waffles at the state fair, you know, that's fine. I had their fall festival entry, which was a caramel apple s'more Nordic waffle. And it was like this apple compote that they scooped and spread on the waffle. Then they had North Mallow caramel swirl marshmallows and then graham cracker crumbles and sealed it up in that closed it up in the Nordic waffle. It's like a taco, like wrap. I just like the first bite was like, oh, this is really good. And then I'm in the car and it's starting to like get melty and those marshmallows are starting. It was so good.
You were down on it.
I really was. And I loved it.
Good.
And I can't stop thinking about it. Actually,
you're
I'm
probably
going to
get
another
get
one
again.
Before they disappear at the end of the month.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of great stuff over there.
You know, they are. I felt like I was able to get in and get out quickly. Yeah. And I ate it in my car and it was good.
Decent. Okay, so my second one is honestly just my obsession with squash. I know I just mentioned earlier that I was going to be making squash soup, which now I think I'm going to make congee and figure out how to roast some squash and put it in my congee is what I've decided.
Oh, that will be good.
Yeah, I'm thinking
roast
because,
up squares.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go super hot on the roast of the butternut maybe. But here's the deal. I'm putting up, you guys, a collection that I... off of Chowhound, which is like all of these, like the best winter squash recipes. And of course, you know, we're talking acorn squash and butternut squash and all this stuff. And they have a bunch of great little ideas from like bacon wrapped squash bites
Yum.
To roasted delicata squash salad, which love a delicata, butternut soup, slow cooker vegetable stew. They've got pappardelle pasta with squash in it. So it's just a little bit of like thinking about the spaghetti squash situation, which was so big for the anti-carb set. Remember, everyone was like, look, it's spaghetti, but it's not.
I've eaten a lot of that.
Yep. Have you? I could do it with the zucchini, but the spaghetti squash has such a specific sweetness to it that I could never get my mind to be like, I'm eating pasta, you know?
I could.
I never did. Yeah, and Jake didn't like it either, so I was sort of like, eh.
Yeah.
You know? But there was a great recipe. I don't know if it's on this one. About doing like a bolognese, sort of a lasagna boat with your squash, like digging out your spaghetti squash and then putting in like the bolognese and then putting a bechamel on top.
Cheese.
Yeah. And
Yum.
Then that becomes like a lasagna boat.
A vessel.
I could do that because there's enough flavor other than just sauce and squash.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But I mean, then this one, you would love this Thai red curry with kabocha.
Oh,
squash.
Yeah. I love curry.
I know you do.
I do
always
love
think
curry.
About you.
I make it all the
There's
time.
There's a pumpkin lasagna. When did we talk about that?
I don't know, but you make
it. Oh, it was Patrice.
And it's delicious.
It was Patrice's in her book, in the 10,000 Plates book. Pumpkin lasagna. And that's where I think I want to go and do that. So, too, at some point. And the pumpkin gnocchi. That was another one I talked with the boys this weekend about what we're going to do for Thanksgiving. I think that's it.
Okay. I am wondering, just as a side note, when it's going to be okay to talk about Thanksgiving. And you can tell me when we come back.
Okay.
On the Weekly Dish.
Hey everybody, it's Steph March for Common Ground Minnesota, and I just want to tell you how glad I am that we have a resource for farmers and food and agriculture in Minnesota. We are so lucky. It's one of the biggest things that our state is known for, and sometimes I feel like we don't get a chance to actually talk to farmers and find out what they're doing. And Common Ground Minnesota is a place on Facebook where you can ask questions about how your food is grown right here from local farmers. These are women who are volunteering their time to answer your questions and to engage in conversations. Plus, they'll show you cute farm pictures of their dogs. I mean, what's better than that? And they post recipes. What could be better than that? Common Ground Minnesota is a resource for you guys, and it's all volunteer-led. And I just encourage everybody, if you're curious about your food and where it comes from and the farming that is going on in Minnesota, you want to get to Common Ground Minnesota on Facebook.
This might be cheating, Stephanie, because we could see it. But do you know who sang that song?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it, so I have to say Sister Hazel because
that's
I
such
literally
a funny
just
one-hit wonder.
I don't.
Did anybody?
It?
I mean, did Sister Hazel do anything else that anyone is excited about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really know. I don't. But I'm not a Sister Hazel. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, bands could be super famous, or like, and I wouldn't realize.
Right.
It, you
right.
know what I mean?
Okay. I am just gonna take a few minutes here to talk about cooking things.
Okay.
Okay. So. You know how...
Do you want me to go away for a while?
No, I want to talk about it with
okay?
you. But this is maybe a little bit of a dribs and drabs or what Stephanie cooked this week. But okay. I think it's worth noting. First of all, I grew cabbages and I made a lot of sauerkraut.
Right.
And then if you cut off your cabbage and it's early enough in the season, the cabbages will make other cabbages, which I did not know. So when Kurt went to the cabin and cleaned out the cabin and got the garden ready for the fall... He brought back these three cabbages that I didn't even know I had.
Yep.
And they were kind of smaller and tight, which was great. And I was like, oh, cabbages. And I didn't have, my grill is not, because it's disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
I have like one saucepan and I had these cabbages and I have no spice, barely. I like have nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what can I do with these cabbages? I need to eat something today. Have you ever had a cabbage plank?
I don't know what a plank is.
I'm going to tell you. Or a steak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In Czech Republic all the time.
So good.
Yeah.
So you take your cabbage and you, instead of cutting it like in half horizontally, you cut like the ends off and you cut in about an inch and a half, right?
Like a cauliflower steak. Yes. Same.
So you get this, like, I'm going to call it a plank, and that's not the right word. You get a steak. And they said to...
A plank is like a long board.
They said to cut the center out of it, but I didn't because I was like, well, I want it to hold together. I don't want it all over the place.
Yeah.
So I cut these big fat slabs. Then I put them on a skillet with olive oil and put olive oil on the top. And I had smoked smoked paprika.
Yeah.
And I had salt and pepper. And I had a little of Heather's Dirty Good seasoning, but you wouldn't need to use that if you didn't want. I just love that seasoning.
No, I do too.
So I cooked them in the oven at 375 degrees for about 40 minutes and took them out. And it was ambrosia. They were so good. Kurt was like...
There was like an ambrosia. I have a picture of ambrosia up, which is this, you know, a very salad. Sweet marshmallowy thing. So when you say that, my mind just went...
Kurt was like, wow, this is so good. It was so good. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was just this very humble, not very fancy recipe. And I think cabbage is kind of underrated because if you're like me, you ate, like I did the cabbage soup diet 52 times in college.
Oh,
so even eating cabbage can sometimes be a little weird for me because I ate that soup so much. It was like caramelized. It was crispy on the edges. The smoked paprika gave it like kind of a spicy bite.
Yeah.
And it was buttery.
Yeah.
It was really, really great. So
fun. You discovered, like, that's a really good...
Yeah, and like, I can't wait to make it again.
Yeah.
And I think it would be good to, like, if you're having vegans over or vegetarians and you want to have, like, something that's a little more substantial, you can also apparently serve it with pasta and other things. But I thought it was really good, and I wanted to tell you guys about it because it never occurred to me to make a steak out of cabbage.
Yeah.
So it was delicious.
Okay.
Okay, second thing. Go to my mother-in-law's house for dinner last Sunday, and my mother-in-law's a fabulous cook. And I said, what are you making or what'd you make? She said, well, I made Ellie's favorite meal. Ellie's my daughter.
Yeah.
You'd think I would know her favorite meal. So
you
I
didn't
was like,
have that.
Huh? Well, what are you making her? And she's like, her favorite meatballs. I'm like, oh, Ellie has a favorite meatball. She's like, hasn't she ever told you that these are her favorite meatballs? No, she hasn't. So then I was like, okay, does grandma not know that Ellie's? And so Ellie comes to dinner and she's like, oh, you made my favorite meatballs.
So you didn't know? Is it just that you didn't know? Or
yeah.
Is it, so I think that the thing is that every, like grandmas and stuff, they just have different, they have a whole different food life with our kids than we do.
Yeah.
And you
that
have,
was exactly what I discovered.
When Ellie has a kid and whatever, or whatever, and you have
Let's
like,
hope.
Yeah, but you will have a different food life and she'll be like, what? You ate this with, like, Jake all the time, he goes, oh yeah, that time when I would sit and watch Andy Griffith's show and I would eat these, you know, these little cucumber sandwiches. I'm like, what?
That's so funny.
And I
never
no
even
idea.
Thought about it in this context, but you're absolutely right.
They have an entire different life that we actually love because we need them to take them for us.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then, and it's this whole thing of like, yeah, Jake has, my mom brought over like an apple thing that she made and he was like, oh, this is like what she does with this. And I'm like, what? What are you talking
so
about?
So funny. Yeah. Okay. Because I was immediately like, God, I'm the worst mother in the world that I did not know this.
No. Because it wouldn't have been like, you can't make that and it wouldn't have been her favorite.
Because
it's the grandma making it.
Totally.
Yeah.
So what it is, and this is why I bring it up, because I think people get creeped out about veal.
Veal?
Veal meatballs.
Okay.
These meatballs are, so veal is just young cow.
Yeah.
And it's mixed with ricotta. And so they're very pink and they're very smooth looking because the veal is ground. And then you mix it with the ricotta and it almost looks like it wouldn't be working in a meatball because it's really kind of smooth. But then you roll them with a little bit of flour on your hands and then you pan fry them.
Oh, you pan fry them.
And then you make a sauce.
Yeah.
And you cook it all together. And the meatballs, veal makes a gigantic difference
is
in a meatball.
Is it dense?
No.
Or is it? Okay. Because I was going
to
say,
pillows.
Yeah, if you do the ricotta in there as well, I bet that's what, like that moisture, then that has adheres to the little bit of fat that they have, and that gives you that lightness. Like
they're
sometimes if
so
you
light.
Put water into meatballs, like you do a little bit of water, that helps lighten them up because the denseness is sometimes too much for me.
Yeah. I would like you to try these because they were fantastic.
I might try them.
So we put a recipe up. It's these ricotta meatballs made with this ground veal that you can get at your grocery store. You can get at a butcher. You just ask them for it. And then what I was like, oh, how did you make your tomato sauce? Because that was also super good.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, that's the Alice Waters simple sauce. Which, if you have fresh tomatoes, you can do it. But I have used, and she uses the San Marzano canned tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And it's just three ingredients. It's garlic, olive oil, the tomatoes, and then you can finish it with oregano or basil, dried or fresh, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was just this really earthy, lovely sauce that was simple with these delicious, light meatballs. It was just delicious.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's Ellie. Good. Grandma Ellie's favorite meal.
Ellie's favorite meal.
I was like, okay, good to know. Ellie's favorite meal. So I did post the recipe. It was really great. Give it a try.
I love it. Today. So it's definitely the fall season. It's definitely October. For me, that, of course, like we're doing all the cooking that we talked about. But the other thing I'm doing besides cooking is watching scary movies.
Oh, I haven't started yet, but I want to.
Okay, this is great. So here's the thing. I know that we have Halloween is coming up, and we kind of touched a little bit about, like, what are we going to do for Halloween? You and I are going to be here on Halloween, You know, morning.
Let's have a whole Halloween show.
That's what I think. I think we should. I'm gonna get you in the mood for that today, and maybe we'll do some menu planning and things like that for it later. But I think that people are going to be doing Halloween sort of, like, watch parties. I know a couple people have talked to me about, because they know that I love scary movies, and I watch them all October. And so they were like, ooh, we should do a group, and we should watch it together, but not together. And I thought, what would be cool is to have, like, a dinner party themed around, like, a scary movie or something.
Yeah.
And so you each make something at home, and I'm saying a dinner party at home, like, on, you know, these watch party apps and stuff. And so I was thinking about what foods go with what scary movies. And this is where I am kind of excited. Like, I started thinking about The Quiet Place, right? Okay. Have you seen The Quiet Place?
Is that the one where they don't talk during the whole movie?
They can't talk because the monsters can hear everything.
I loved that movie.
Okay. And it's like John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. And they are so pretty and I love them. And the whole thing, they have a great dinner scene, like a very harvesty in their barn thing. It's terrifying. But, and I don't want to ruin everything, but I love the idea of not having any sound with the food you were eating. Like, what would you have you didn't want to make any sound. You tried to have an entire dinner that had zero sound.
Oh, because you couldn't be like lip smacking or slurping
there was a recommendation for chocolate mousse because that's a thing. It doesn't crunch.
Except for the spoon would clink on the glass jar.
Well, I mean, you'd have to like make your effort. Or you could put the chocolate mousse like in a, you could put it
in a push pop.
Yeah, or something.
Like a plastic
push up. That would be good.
Yeah.
But then, like, the idea of, like, soup, but you can't slurp. You have to drink it. Or, like, scrambled eggs. For some reason, to me, was like, that's soft. You know? Things that wouldn't make a sound if you were crunching. So that would be kind of a fun thing, is to then get your food friends together and everybody have this, like, okay, what would you make for what scary movie?
So, and this is all assuming you're all going to eat it at home.
Right. This is not.
Because you're Zooming.
Yeah, this, like, is not going out.
I made spaghetti.
Out.
It's delicious. I hope you would want some.
Well, I kind of feel like the idea is to put the recipes up together and then say, like a dinner party group would be like, okay, we're going to watch, Nightmare Before Christmas, which is a family-friendly, cute Halloween and Christmas sort of mashup. And you could have, like, spicy and, you know, hot chocolate that was spiked or, you know, kind of both spicy or spiked or whatever. Kind of for the kids.
This is cute. This is fun because it's communal.
It's what?
It can be communal, because I was sort of like, oh, yeah, except everybody. But you can, like, yeah.
Like, okay, so here's some of the ones that we were thinking about. Like, if you were going to watch, if everyone was going to watch Children of the Corn, I thought that is a great 80s scary movie. P.S. I made Jake watch Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, I'm basically cycling him through all my old scary movies. And he's like, this is not very scary. I'm like, I was terrified. I was terrified of Freddy. Anyway. But Children of the Corn.
Did that scare him?
Children of the Corn?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of, that's a Stephen King one.
That one is a scary one because it's kids.
Uh-huh.
Anytime there's...
Demonic children.
Demonic children are terrifying.
Yeah, or dolls.
Oh, forget about the Annabelle. Dolls.
What was that one where Annabelle, what's that movie?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
My daughter, Ellie, and in fact, maybe she should come in and be on our Halloween show, Steph, because she like did her dissertation in her English major in scary movies.
Oh, we should
do it. Let's think about that because I'm going to run into her today.
Okay, but Children of the Corn, I think this is an easy one for everybody. Yeah. Everybody has a corn dish.
Corn harvest,
corn
soup. You can
do corn bread. You can do tortillas. You can do tacos.
Stephanie's delicious corn. What's your delicious corn with this?
The cream corn, which we were already talking about. You can have horchata drinks. You know, those are like the corn milk based things, the cinnamony things.
Rum chata.
Yes, and you could rum chata up. Okay, things like Silence of the Lambs. That's a natural.
Oh.
Fava beans everywhere. Everyone drinks Chianti. But also, like, weird, like, you would eat Papa liver. Beans. Like, you could have liver.
Gross.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it would be great to have liver.
Have you ever had good liver?
Yes. Oh, dude. Well, and liver mousse. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Liver
like,
pate.
You could do pate. But I would also absolutely...
Good fried liver you've had?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Okay.
Not prepared by anyone related to me. Let's be clear. Sorry, Mom. But there is definitely... A chef, I can't remember where I ate at some restaurant, and it was this beautiful liver.
Yum.
And I thought it was great. Okay, so here, so what are some of the other scary things I'm trying to think of? The movie places. Like, okay, so for The Ring, have you ever seen The Ring? Did you ever see The Ring?
No.
That was that sort of Japanese horror film where, like, she came out of the TV kind of a thing.
Oh, that sounds scary.
But there's, like, you see a ring or something like that. And I was thinking, what if you all had, like... You had to have round ring shaped food.
A Jello ring.
A Jello ring.
They have like tons of them at Arts Value Village.
You know, like that you make out of the crescent
rolls. Oh yes, the tasty recipe. That's the pizza balls that you rip open and yum.
Okay, now here's the big question: have you seen Hereditary?
Yes.
Okay, I have not seen it.
Okay, Stephanie.
I know.
Are you saving that for Halloween? Because that's perhaps one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
So, you guys, what started this weird thought process was the fact that there was somebody sent a press release out, you know, that was like the 10 most heart palpitation, you know, raising movies of all time. And Hereditary was number one. Now, Hereditary is a movie that Jake's best friend, Henry, has been goading me to watch for 2 years, and I haven't watched it. And so I have a bet. So we have a night set where we're all going to dial into Hereditary and watch.
It's the perfect kind of movie because a lot of scary movies for me are short on plot.
Okay, right.
But this feels...
That's what he said to me. He goes, you will love this because of... He's like, you love a story.
And Toni Collette is the star, and she's such a great actress.
Okay, so Chow Hound, which is, that's the list that I'm going to put up for sure on the website, has read, and I don't know the movie yet, but they have said charred pork chops with brown rice is because of something to a certain creepy crawly. I won't say, because I didn't read it. But they said that was a good one for it.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
I was thinking something else. But it's definitely a good one to watch.
And
I watched Midsommar.
Yep. And Somer? That one. Somer. Midsommar. Like you could do Gravlax and you could do a whole Swedish meal. You could do a whole Swedish meal with Midsommar.
That is another scary movie that's very thoughtful and kind of bizarre, but scary.
Yeah.
Ellie made me watch that one.
Yeah, I think I only saw part of it, and so that's unfortunate.
It got a little draggy in some spots, but it was pretty cool premise.
Yeah. And then, did you ever see It Follows? That was one that everyone said was super scary, and that's on my list to watch this month.
No.
Yeah,
is
that
it
was
based
a whole...
on It?
No, it's not It, right? It's something about, like, something is following you. There's, like, something behind you all the time. Like, you know... Like,
or the one with Elizabeth Moss where, like, her abusive boyfriend was invisible.
The Invisible Man? We just watched that. I didn't think that was a horror movie. That was more like... You know what I mean?
Psychological terror.
Yeah, I guess, like, in the old days, The Invisible Man was, like, a scary movie. And, like, but this one was a little bit more psychological.
Cloverfield, have you watched that?
I love the Cloverfield movies.
That was a good movie, too. Very thoughtful... Scary, but almost scary because you could see it happening in
real
life.
What about The Mist? Did you see The Mist?
Okay, The Mist is... Well, Ellie, I don't even feel like I can talk about this because literally the kid could talk to you for 40 minutes about The Mist.
Really?
She's very, very... It was her first like seminal young person watching a scary movie alone with a friend was that movie. And she could talk to you about it, I swear, for an hour and a half.
I love the fact that they're saying that because, you know, you're basically barricaded in a grocery store. Like, you could totally, or like, you know, it's like you're in, like, they're suggesting bacon wrapped hot dogs, sort of making it a weird Yum. Spiral cut thing. But I thought that was fun. I totally thought about that. So my favorite, do you have a favorite scary movie?
Well, I mean, Halloween, just because
exactly, sitting in a... The original Halloween is 100% my favorite scary movie.
And just like scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Another one that really scared me, and I think, again, it was due to my age, was When a Stranger Calls.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the house.
Yep.
And she's like, he's in the house.
What would you eat with Halloween? I was trying to think about it. And it's because Lori makes...
Candy.
Yeah, well, she makes popcorn. And I literally thought I would totally eat just a big bowl of popcorn. And, like, she also carves out the
or
pumpkin.
Your pumpkin. The pumpkin dip thing.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking about that. What would
the
you
The Shining is also scary, but in a different way.
No, we totally watched that and Dr. Sleep. And, like, for The Shining, food-wise, honestly, it was kind of like... We were watching the kitchen, you know, like they're in the giant commercial kitchen, and it makes me want to open a big can of peaches or something for some reason, just because that's, you know, like they're doing, but there's no real, is there a food scene really? That's it. No, in The Shining, but I don't know what I would make.
In movies.
I know. But there's a lot of great ones. And so there's, how about the Babadook? Have you watched the Babadook?
Okay. No, but I've had a lot of discussion about the Babadook with Don McLean from the morning
really?
Show. And also there's a leprechaun.
Yeah, the leprechaun ones, like that, Chucky and the leprechaun one stuff, that does nothing for me.
Where the, like, every time you, there was a video that was real scary that was a preview for a movie where every time someone turned down the light or turned off a light, the little, like, leprechaun was in the shadows. It was scary. Oh. I'll try and find it, okay. See if I can find the trailer and put it on the Weekly Dish Facebook page.
Just so you know, you can do, like, family-friendly stuff with this, too. You know what I mean? This is a fun one to do if you're going to all watch Hocus Pocus. You know what I mean?
Like, Hocus
you can,
Pocus was great.
It's so great. And, like, you know, you can make, like, Halloween candy bark or Halloween. You can do, like, all, like, the kind of the fun witchy things. You know, make green slushies. And I think if you go kind of that way, like, someone made brownies that looked in the shape of the Book of the Dead, you know, with the eyeball and stuff.
Well, and we're coming up on Dia de los Muertos, and I still haven't watched that movie.
The Book of Life.
Yeah.
You got to do it. It's Jake, literally on the drive home yesterday, was like, we're almost into Book of Life territory.
Okay, I'm going to write that one down.
It is my favorite one.
What was the other one where the kid plays the guitar?
Coco.
Yeah, I never saw that either.
I actually haven't watched that because I'm so loyal to Book of Life.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
All right, there you go, you guys. And hopefully we'll have some fun stuff with
Oh, my sister just texted me, When a Stranger Calls.
Is so
yeah,
like,
that was her scary one, too.
It's coming from within the house. Get out. If you're an 80s kid, actually, you should drink some Tab with that. Because it's going away.
And rub some baby oil on you before you go outside.
I know. All right, you guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be right back with the wrap of the show.
We're just trying to determine when Kelly Clarkson wrote this song, the breakup anthem. Let's see.
Is it 2004. So that was a year after my baby was born. No.
Okay. And like, if you look at her picture, she looks like a child. That's cool. She was such a young when she started.
That's
American
cool.
Idol.
You look like a child. That's cool.
Well, because she was just so young and so successful even then.
I remember when she won the
American
very first
Idol
American
with Justin
Idol.
Guarino.
I know.
You guys.
They made that horrible movie.
A real thing. Grace Lear music update, by the way, who was on American Idol. I told you she got signed by the record label, right? So she's in Nashville writing songs. So fun to just like watch her. She has more Instagram followers than I do, which makes me a little jealous.
She's on television.
I know. She's up to like 60,000.
Television. National television.
So funny. That's what's happening with Grace Lear for those of you who's keeping track. Okay, Stephanie, real question.
Yeah.
You have rules about when we can talk about Thanksgiving. And I had
no,
a couple
Thanksgiving
things. No, I
have mostly
rules
about Christmas. Let's be clear.
Okay. So I'm asking you out of respect for the show and our relationship, when can we talk about Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, honestly, my big thought is that we have, you know, Halloween is normally the thing that you want to focus on. And I mean, like, you want to focus on the next holiday.
Yeah, normally we're really excited about Halloween.
Yeah. And this year it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't want to have fatigue is my big always thing, is because this is what happens to me with Christmas. When people start talking about Christmas before Thanksgiving, by the time Christmas rolls around, I don't feel special. It doesn't feel, you know, special and fun anymore. It doesn't feel magical because we've already like
ruins them about it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's why I try to safeguard those a little bit. Now, this year, I know Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit different, and that's a big piece of why maybe we should talk about it before.
Well, and if we wait, so we have a show October 31st, which will be a fun Halloween show.
Yeah.
And then the next Saturday is November 7th, and we have three.
We have a lot.
Because when is Thanksgiving? The 26th?
Thanksgiving is the 26th, so that the weekend before the 21st is the official Thanksgiving show. So we have two full weekends before it.
Three, actually. 7, 14, 21. Glad we're show planning on the
air. Well, no, the 21st will be our Thanksgiving show. Remember? It's the weekend before.
Got it. So then 7, so we have 7th, 14, and so 2 weeks
of also talking about Thanksgiving. I think that's enough.
Okay, so we're not going to talk about Thanksgiving until the first week of November, which would be the November 7th Weekly Dish Show.
Yeah.
Because October 31st, we're just going to talk about Halloween.
It's going to be a Halloween fun fest. We're going to eat so much sugar.
I think I'm going to actually see if Ellie wants to come and talk about scary movies. She's pretty fun about it.
That's great.
She can also tell you about all the weird costumes that I made her wear as a child.
Well, we can have everybody talk about their costumes, right?
Jake could come in, too. Well, we could have a kids' Halloween show.
That's going to be a lot of people in our little booth.
Oh, true. Because you have to remember that. We're COVID-friendly. Right. That's right.
Exactly. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, definitely.
Maybe we'll have them each call in for a segment. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Jake's costumes have been pretty epic. Let's be clear. Like,
oh, and I'm sorry.
The dead Tauntaun was probably my favorite.
And I didn't even know what that was, but it was good.
Yeah. Inigo Montoya.
Carl Sanders was good. Alfred Hitchcock was fantastic.
That was a great one. And then last year he was Buddy Christ, which was just, you know, he was that from the Dogma movie, which is like the cartoon Jesus.
Oh, I like cartoon Jesuses.
Yeah, he was that. So
any blasphemous
Post Malone,
costumes are kind of funny to me.
Any what?
He is Post Malone. So that's almost like
it's an unfair costume.
He really channels him when he had his senior pictures. I was like, God, he's just looking just like Post Malone. It's cute. Yeah. Okay, so Thanksgiving, we're doing it, but we're not going to start until after. Because when do we have to get our turkeys, though?
No, I mean, they're not that. It's not like now.
Okay.
Like, you can get them, let's be clear, turkeys, you can get them pretty much any time.
Like, when are our turkey ordering deadlines going to be? When are our food ordering deadlines going to be?
It's all coming up, but it's not.
Oh, boy.
You don't have to. Let me take this stress off you. Maybe.
Do I seem stressed?
Maybe we can have Halloween and get through the election and then come back with a Thanksgiving and start talking about it to give people something to look forward to.
Sure.
That first weekend.
Maybe on our Halloween show, we should talk about things to eat during the election night.
We can. Because that is going to be scary for a lot of people. So that's almost like a horror show.
Drinks to make. Yes.
But let's be clear that basically we are walking into Halloween is on a Saturday. Sunday is going to be daylight savings time change. And then Monday will be Day of the Dead. Tuesday will be Election Day.
Wow.
We have a lot that weekend. So let's hold Thanksgiving as something
sacred.
On the 7th. People can get excited about talking about it. It'll be a break from the craziness.
I would say too, if there's any of you out there that have Thanksgiving quandaries that you want solved, or you want like, hey, I need a new dressing recipe, the one I'm using I'm tired of, whatever if you have questions, we'll start gathering them.
Yeah.
And we will be compiling and talking about how we're going to do Thanksgiving this year.
I know.
But you just Thanksgiving, no, Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, November 1st.
November 2nd. So the first is the changing of the clocks. We have to remember that you're going to have daylight savings time.
I hate that day.
I don't find
fall
it to
forward,
be a problem.
Whatever it is, fall back.
I always feel like it's so weird that people have such passionate hate or love for it.
Because your whole circadian rhythms get screwed up.
For an hour?
Yeah.
Do you know how much? Maybe it's because I don't ever have a normal sleep schedule that I don't ever care that an hour swings one way or the other.
And if you have a baby, oh my God.
Well, I get that.
Do you remember that?
They grow out of it. Like, this is the thing where people are like, oh my God, this is the nightmare.
When
like,
you have you a baby, though, and they're on this like schedule and then the daylight savings comes.
No, I hear you and I know that that's horrible, but they grow out of it. Like becoming a normal adult.
It's not a permanent.
Yeah, it's not the rest of your life, although people on Twitter like to act as if it is.
My poor brother, his baby is like 6 weeks old, I think. And so that's going to be a roughie.
Yeah.
He's already not sleeping. They call her the meatball. She eats 24/7.
Who?
My little, she's my niece.
Oh.
Maisie's her name. We just call her the meatball.
The meatball. But,
she,
that's going to go well in high school. She's going to love being known as the meatball.
She eats 24/7.
Was she a teenage boy? Jeez. I mean, like, honestly.
You know what else is interesting? My sister-in-law had a baby the same week her sister had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister has had a hard time pumping milk. So my sister-in-law is milking two babies.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because she's a nurse. So she wanted the baby to get the good, you know, things that you get from the breast milk. So they're sharing.
Okay.
I know. It was kind of interesting. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
I think next week we're going to talk about ghost kitchens, by the way. We're going to talk about all the stuff that's popping up because a lot of people are really, these restaurants in town are moving towards, you know, doing kitchens that are not, they're launching new, whole new concepts and doing delivery and takeout. But I kind of want to break it down a little bit more.
Yeah, ghost kitchens, that fits into Halloween theme.
Also, well, it's not Halloween next weekend. Let's be clear.
Oh, okay. Got it.
We have one more. I also have to let you know that I have been in contact with the author who has written that book, Hot Cheese, that I was very excited about. Because I think if anything's going to get us through this rest of this year, it's going to be hot cheese. And so I'm going to try to get her on at least some point within the next 2 weeks. Maybe not the Halloween show, maybe the weekend before, but we'll see. So,
all right. So lots of fun stuff coming up on Weekly Dish.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we can look forward to, and it doesn't just have to be Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it can all be fun. We've got room for it all.
I mean, there's still people who are going to try to do some orchards and all those kind of fun things.
Yeah,
so why not?
Absolutely. And get outside today. It's chilly, but just bundle up, friends.
Tomorrow should be sunny, by the way, too.
Enjoy.
Ciao.